The following was recorded live from the sanctuary of Bethel Worship Center, Tuppers Plains, Ohio, reaching the world for Jesus Christ from Meigs County. Join us now and experience an exciting message from our pastor, Rob Barber.
We are going to be talking about, I'm going to be wrapping up this series of messages, Be the New, and we're talking about serving. We talked about serving the Lord and how important it is to serve the Lord and how exciting it is to be a part of the body of Christ to serve the Lord. We talked about serving our family last week. Being a part of a family is God's idea. God established family. God established marriage. God established one man and one woman. Of course, society wants to change that. But it doesn't matter what society does or what they think they're doing. The reality is God is still the one on the throne, and he sets the rules. Amen? Amen. So we acknowledge what God establishes. All right, so family, very important. We talked about submission. We submit to God. Now, submission is sometimes a nasty word. People don't like the word submission. You got to submit to this or submit to that. And often submission can be a little difficult for those of us who have a little bit of a rebellious nature in us. Amen. Anybody on board with me about that? Okay. I mean, it's human nature, to rebel against things. Adam and Eve started it all. And it's just going to continue. It's going to continue until Jesus Christ comes back. Those of us who are born again are learning to submit to our Master, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We're learning to submit to one another. We're learning to submit to our spouse. We're learning to submit to leadership whenever it's appropriate. Now, submission also comes with the responsibility of those who are being submitted to that they must operate according to biblical principles. If somebody's telling you to do something that's contrary to the Word of God, get away from that. But as long as they're asking you to do things that are biblically appropriate, we should submit. Submitting to the leadership of the church is not an evil thing. However, there's been times in the church where submission was abused. In the 70s, there was a movement called shepherding. And shepherding was a movement that got a little bit out of hand. There were some good, godly people involved with it. But the shepherding movement got out of hand where the leaders were looked upon as almost in a God kind of sense. And people had to submit to those individuals. It came to the point where the leaders of the shepherding movement were making decisions for people about what kind of cars they should buy, who they should marry, crazy things. And when things like that go on, you get away from it. God speaks to you. Speaks to individuals. Holy Spirit lives inside of each and every born-again person. You don't need somebody to intercede for you in regards to hearing from God. You need to listen to Holy Spirit is what you need to do, each one of us. So let Holy Spirit lead and direct us. Now, I'm not saying you don't get advice. Godly counsel is important. You don't go to war without godly counsel. You don't make decisions without godly, major decisions without godly counsel. You should get godly counsel. But make sure you're getting godly counsel. The person that works beside of you, wherever you are, that doesn't know the Lord and has never crossed the doors of a church, the threshold of a church, if you're getting counsel from that person, you're getting the wrong counsel. That's foolishness. Get counsel from wise, godly people. All right, I'll leave that alone. We'll move on. Because we're talking about submitting to one another, and that's so important in the body of Christ. All right, today we're going to talk about serve the church, or probably more appropriately, serve the body of Christ. The body of Christ, of course, you know, when we say serve the church, we're not talking about just serving when we have gatherings. That's important. You know, being an usher is important. Being a greeter is important. Helping with children's ministry, distributing bulletins, media, sound, worship team, all these things are extremely important on Sunday mornings when we meet. Without people who are stepping up to do those kind of ministries, the church will not function properly. We saw an important function of the church this morning. Tongues and interpretation of tongues. Very important part. Very, very important that we recognize that the gifts of the Spirit are still alive and operating today in the church. Praise God. Much of the church do not want to acknowledge the operation of the gifts of the Spirit because, you know, and I understand this because it's gotten out of control sometimes. You know, it's been abused and misused. But I'm very thankful that every time I've seen it operate in this body, in this congregation, it's been right in order with Scripture. It's been good. But there's so many other gifts that are supposed to be used in the body of Christ, not just on Sunday mornings. As the body of Christ, we're to minister to one another and meet one another's need through the gifts, the talents, and the abilities that God has given us. There's 9 gifts of the Spirit that God expects to be used. There's fruit of the Spirit. Now, let me tell you something. You may be operating in the gifts of the Spirit, but what I'm more concerned about is the fruit that you bear.
Amen.
Are you bearing good fruit? You know, Paul said you can speak with the tongue of men and of angels, and some people do. They can have faith to move mountains. But if you don't have love, you have nothing.
Yes.
And the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, patience, goodness, faith, they all are so important to the body of Christ. If I had to choose, and I don't have to, none of us do, praise God. But if I had to choose from a human perspective whether you would operate in one of the 9 gifts of the Spirit or operate in the fruit of the Spirit, I'd choose fruit every time. Because fruit tastes good.
Yes.
Fruit is tantalizing to the world. Gifts are confirmation that the fruit that we're bearing is from God. So, as we talk about these things, we all need to encourage one another to operate in the fruit of the Spirit. As we operate in the gifts of the Spirit. So we're talking about serving the church. And serving the church means we're serving the body of Christ. We're serving one another. Let's take a look at some scripture this morning as we go through this. But first of all, let me tell you where to turn to first of all, to begin with. Turn to Matthew chapter 10. No, I'm sorry, Matthew chapter 20, we'll begin with verse 25. We'll read just 3 scriptures there. But here's what I want you to understand. You need to recognize something as we come together on Sunday mornings. A very important question that you need to ask yourself. Are you here on Sunday to be served, or are you here to serve? Because if we're not careful, we are a consumer society. And it's too easy to come in, sit down in a comfortable pew, nice warm church, great music, worship the Lord, and go home and have been served without serving. Without serving the Lord, really. I mean, it's easy. You know, we can come in and go through these motions every Sunday. I fight that. I don't want to just go through motions. I want my worship to be pure before the Lord. I want my worship when I come in here on Sunday mornings. And I'm not just talking about when the music is playing. Every part of this service should be about worshiping Him in spirit and in truth. What an awesome God we serve. So we need to really check ourselves and think about that. The kingdom of God is all about serving. A first grade teacher asked her students, "What do you do at home to help?" A little girl said, I do the dishes. A little boy said, I sweep the floor. Another said, I feed and water the animals, the dog and cat. Just about every student in the class had something that they did in the family. And one little boy didn't speak up, and the teacher said, "What do you do, Tommy?" And he said, "Well, I stay out of the way." And you know, that might be the attitude that a lot of the church has. We're just going to stay out of the way and let somebody else do it. God's encouraging you this morning. Be involved. Be a part.
Yeah, that's right.
Step up. The body of Christ needs you. And once again, I'm not just talking about our Sunday morning service. I'm talking about going out and helping somebody in this congregation that might need you, or somebody, some other believer that might need your help. Somebody who may need something from you. Somebody, according to Jesus, Jesus said this, Mark 10:45, "For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many." Service is what Jesus has called us to. And this is how Jesus said we as a church should conduct ourselves. Matthew chapter 20, verse 25. "But Jesus called them to himself and said, 'You know that the rulers of the Gentiles that lord it over them, and those who are great exercise authority over them.'" Now let's stop right there for a minute. This is the way the world does things. Now we all know, think about those who are in high political positions. How are they treated? How do they think they should be treated? Sometimes they think they should be able to do things that they really shouldn't be doing with our money. Think about our president. He should be honored. He's a president. Any president we have should be honored. That's a position that he has, and he should be honored in that position. But he is able to control and lord it over certain groups of people. Because that's his position. That's the world. Now, let's take that to another level in a monarchy where we have a king. The king is complete and total authority. Whatever he says goes. Kingship. That's the example that the world sets up. The world, people desire power and authority. Some people have a craving for that. Some people will do anything to keep their power and authority. We've seen that down through history. I think about King Herod, who was concerned that the Messiah that was born in Bethlehem was going to rise up and take his position. What did he do? He murdered all the children in Bethlehem 2 years down. That is extreme, don't you think? To keep your power and authority? How can it be that, well, it's that important to many people? We've seen people in our lifetime, kings and people who are dictators that would do just about anything to keep their position of power and authority. They kill millions of people because they want to keep their position. And Jesus said just the opposite about us. He said, that's the way the world works. But listen to what he said, the way we work, or we should operate. And yet it shall not be among you. But whoever desires to become great among you, let him be your servant. The King James says minister. And whoever desires to be first among you, let him be your slave. Now there's two different words, Greek words, that are used here. Dikakonos and doulos. The first one is rendered servant or minister. And it's one who is, it executes commands of another, steps, especially a master or a servant, an attendant, a minister. So as we look at this particular word, in the New Testament, it's used quite often for those who are in attendance to a congregation, who work to serve others. But the other word is doulos, and the Greek word here means a slave, a bondman, someone who serves someone else, in some cases who has a master over them and is forced to serve others. Now, these two words, they're very important to us as we look at them from a biblical perspective, because first of all, he said, you're going to be a servant, a minister. And whoever desires to be first among you will not only be a servant, a willing servant, but he will also be a slave to others. Now, slavery is not something that we look kindly upon. Amen. None of us. You know, we have a history in this country of African Americans being enslaved. Horrible time in our history. So when we talk about slavery, we have a kind of a negative connotation toward it. Something rises up inside of us and says, oh man, I'm not going to be a slave. We don't want other people to be slaves. But the reality is, Paul said we're going to be slaves to Christ. We must get our mindset in such a way that we are serving the Lord Jesus Christ in a way that is that kind of mindset. We are a slave to Him. Now, it's really important that we see this. In Roman times, the term bondservant or slave could refer to someone who voluntarily served as well. The word diakonos means servant, which means a literal servant, employee, or a person who acts as a servant. Doulos in the New Testament has that the other connotation of a slave. Now, in Colossians chapter 4, verse 16, it says this, and it uses both words. Paul says that Tychius first is a diakonos, one who serves, probably in reference to his being a servant in the church. Second is a fellow slave, doulos, of Christ in the work with me, Paul, he was talking about. This doulos status that we have in the body of Christ is a voluntary slavery. You know, Jesus doesn't force you to be a slave to Him. You either make that decision on your own or you choose to rebel against Him. And we have an example in the Old Testament of somebody who volunteers to be a slave. In the Old Testament, in Exodus chapter 21, I'm not going to read that scripture, but you can go there sometime and look at it. But it outlines what happens for a Hebrew. And listen, remember, we're talking about serving not only Christ, but serving the body of Christ, serving brothers and sisters in Christ. And a Hebrew who became a slave to another Hebrew because they were unable to pay or whatever the situation, pay their debt, whatever the situation was, they could only be a slave for 7 years. Mosaic law said no more than 7 years. That's it. They paid their debt after 7 years, and you had to free that person. However, during that seven-year period of time, lots of things happen in people's lives. Maybe they loved their master, the person that they served. You know, he didn't treat them like a slave. He treated them like one of the family, and they just served that person. And not only maybe they loved that master, but during that period of time that they were living in that household, they married another slave. And they had children. So they had roots, they had connections. They were a part of that family. And when that seven-year period was ended, the master would come to him, supposedly, I'm not sure it ever happened like it was supposed to, but he supposedly came to that person and said, you are now free to leave. However, you are the only one free to leave. Not your wife, not your children, just you. So you can see why some would say, oh, wait a minute, maybe that's not such a good idea. Now, if you had a nagging wife, maybe you'd be glad to get out of there. I'm not sure. But regardless of the situation, you would think twice about where you were going, what you were going to do. And if you said, wait a minute, I don't want to leave, they would take that slave, put him against the doorpost, take his earlobe, take an awl, and put a hole with a hammer, put a hole in their earlobe as a mark. Now, that sounds kind of painful, but evidently it was worth the price. Put a hole in his earlobe, and they would become a slave for life. He was sealed for that master. And I want you to understand, you are sealed for the master. You're sealed with Holy Spirit living inside of you. And you know the difference between that and the awl situation? Back then, they put a hole in the ear. Now, Jesus heals the holes in our heart. Amen. Holy Spirit moves on us. And we're sealed for eternity through that power. It's awesome to think about. I'm glad to call myself a slave of Christ. I serve an awesome master. I serve one that loves and is compassionate and understanding of the things that I go through. I serve a Jesus who, even though I make these huge mistakes in my life, make crazy decisions and do things that are sometimes absolutely wrong, he still puts his arms around me and say, I love you so much. I love you just the way you are, but I'm not going to leave you that way. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Oh, thank you, Jesus.
What a God we serve. What a master we're able to serve. There was a coin found in archaeological dig. It was a picture of an ox, and the ox was facing two things. The ox was facing an altar and a plow. And the inscription said this, ready for either. An ox could be used for a sacrifice, or it could be used for labor. I think that's a good example of who we are in Christ. We must be ready to be a living sacrifice to our Lord. And at the same time, put our hands to the plow. Amen? Hallelujah. Thank you for that amen. Praise God. Kind of vocal this morning. It's awesome. Romans chapter 12, verse 1, it says this, beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable, which is your reasonable service. Amen? That's just a reasonable service to God. In Matthew, Jesus gives a wonderful parable that explains how God's kingdom and Christ's body should operate. Let's take a look at that. In Matthew chapter 25, you can turn there. For the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country who called his own servant and delivered his goods to him. Now remember, Jesus' favorite subject was the kingdom of heaven. He would talk about it. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. It's here. Now why was the kingdom of heaven at hand? Why was the kingdom of heaven in the earth? Because the king was here. Wherever the king is, the kingdom. And since we are servants and ambassadors for Christ, guess what? The kingdom still operates in the church today, or in the world today. And the church is part of the kingdom. So the kingdom operates when we operate the kingdom. And to one, he gave 5 talents. To another, 2, and another, 1, to each according to his own ability, and immediately he went on his journey. Okay, this is telling us about Jesus coming, Jesus going back to the Father. He's distributive gifts and abilities to his people, and he expects us to use them in the body. I'm very thankful to have grown up in a Christian household where my parents used their gifts and talents for the kingdom of God. My dad, he would, anybody needed help, he would help them. He would use his mechanic abilities, his carpentry skills, and just go out and if somebody in the body of Christ needed something, he would do that along with other people in their church. My mom and her sisters and other people in the church would, when people needed help, they would go and wash their clothes, clean their house, do all kinds of things that showed that they were servants of Christ, but also servants of the body of Christ. They set an example that allowed me to see what Christianity was all about. And for a while I rejected that philosophy in my life. But because of that example, I was able to come back to the truth, the reality of the gospel of Jesus and who Jesus wanted to be in my life, not just in my parents' life. Matthew chapter 25, 16. Then he who had received the 5 talents went and traded them and made another 5 talents. And likewise, he who had received 2 gained 2 more also. But he who had received 1 went and dug in the ground and hid his Lord's money. Wow. So we see that it's possible to have these things in our life, talents and abilities, and not use them the way God expects us to. Because the one just hid it away. After a long time, the Lord of those servants came and settled accounts with them. Jesus is coming back to settle accounts with his people. Now, this is not condemnation. This is merely a desire to make you aware of what you have and what God's expectation is of you. We're not all called to the same gifting. We're not all called to do the same things. You may think that your talents and your giftings are small. But in the kingdom of God, there are no small talents and gifts. It's all important. We put a lot of emphasis on the upfront ministries, music and speaking and teaching and all those things that are important part of the body of Christ. But it's just for the equipping of the saints so the saints can do the work of the ministry. I'm sick and tired of this glamorous role that pastors seem to have. It's not real, I can tell you that. Amen. It's a facade for some of them. And it's a heavy burden for people to try to carry. I can't make you happy. Only Jesus can do that in your life if you let him. I can't do everything that will please you. I'm not the most charismatic pastor in all the world. If that's what you're looking for, there's probably one down the street a lot more charismatic than I am. And if that's what you're looking for, you'll eventually go there. But if you want somebody who will teach you the Word of God, stand on the Word of God with you, pray with you, support you, I'm here.
Yes, sir.
And there's a lot of other people here. Many others who'll be with you. 20. So he who had received the talents came, bought five other talents, saying, Lord, you delivered to me five talents. Look, I have gained five more talents beside them. His Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of the Lord. Boy, we want to hear that. And he also who had received two talents came and said, Lord, you delivered to me two talents. Look, I have gained two more talents besides them. His Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of the Lord. Then he who had received the one talent came and said, Lord, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. And I was afraid and went and hid your talents in the ground. Look, there you have. What is yours? But his Lord answered and said to him, you wicked and lazy servant, you knew that I reap where I have not sown and gathered where I have not scattered seed. So you ought to have deposited my money with the bankers, and at my coming I would have received back my own with interest. Therefore, now before I read this, I want to say to you, I don't completely understand what Jesus is totally teaching us here about the casting into outer darkness. I don't believe that works will get you into heaven. The scripture is full that this is a grace. We are in a dispensation of grace, and the grace of God comes through His Son, Jesus Christ. When you put your faith, it's faith alone in Christ alone. Amen? That's all. That brings our salvation. However, he's teaching us something very important, and wiser men than I do not completely understand exactly what Jesus is trying to say to us here. But there's going to be some kind of consequence for not doing what Jesus has told you to do by not using your talents and your abilities. Something is going to happen. And, you know, whatever it is, I don't want to take the chance. I want to use my giftings to glorify the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the only reason I stand up here on Sunday mornings, because I want to please my Heavenly Father. No one else. Just Him. And Him alone. And He's speaking to some of you out there this morning that you've been, I won't say neglecting, but you've just been hiding a little bit from the Lord, from His desire for you. It's time to rise up. Now, therefore, take the talent from him and give it to him who has 10 talents. For to everyone who has, more will be given, and he will have abundance. But from him who does not have, even what he has will be taken away. And cast the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. You know, we have a choice. And our choice is that even when God calls us to something that's hard, something that's difficult, something that we don't necessarily want to do, or circumstances happen in our lives that create a difficulty for us to overcome, you know, if we're not careful, we'll allow the circumstances of life to keep us from accomplishing God's will. And I can tell you this without a doubt. Even when it's hard to serve Him with all your heart, it's better to serve Him than to regret that you didn't do it. Much better. And there's rewards for it. He's faithful. A gentleman by the name of Paul Meyer, he wrote a book called Unlocking Your Legacy. And he talked about a time when his mother, he went to the house and he found his mother collapsed on the floor. And a few days later, she died. But in her pocket, he found a note that said, 7 cents for 7 miles for hope. And what he discovered was that his mother had walked 7 miles and earned 7 cents for a ministry, something about ships that meet people's needs and medical assistance and those kind of things. But his mother had done this. Now, this is back many, many years ago. But when he discovered that, he started putting it together, and he said, you know what? That 7 miles could very well have been what killed her. Yet, that was so important in her life. And she set an example to him. Now, he had a choice. He could become bitter, or he could become better because of it. He made a choice. He was a very wealthy man. He became a philanthropist. He started giving more and more into Christian ministry and missions. At the end of his life, he'd given millions of dollars away because he made a decision that a circumstance that could have caused him to be bitter actually helped him to be better. We have decisions all the time to make. They're difficult ones sometimes. Serving the body of Christ. I'm talking about serving one another. I'm talking about serving the body of Christ at large. I'm talking about missions. You know, we have a possible mission trip coming up. For anybody who would like to be involved with that, I'm going to share more information about it. But I just want to let everybody know that Jay Dewhurst has made it available for us to come to his mission. And he would like for us to do that. And so be praying about it. See if it's something God wants you to do. Luke chapter 10, verse 41. And Jesus answered and said to her, Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things. Now, let me set the stage for what I'm saying here. Of course, Martha had a sister, Mary. And Martha invited Jesus into her house. Martha was a person with the gift of hospitality. Any of you in here have the gift of hospitality? You feel like you do? You like having people over? Amen. You know, that's a great thing. We're always looking for people with the gift of hospitality to host our connect groups, our life groups. So, you know, it's a great, great ministry. Awesome. But sometimes if you have that gift, if you're not careful, you'll get a little bitter about those who don't have that gift. Particularly people in your family that may not have that gift, and you have that gift. While you're up serving and taking care of other people, and they're just sitting on the couch, allowing you to do all the work. Amen? You know, you see where I'm going with this? You understand? You know, if we're not careful, even our gifting sometimes will create a problem for us. Now, here's what we need to understand. Mary was Martha's sister. And Mary did not have the gift of hospitality. Mary wanted to hear the words of Jesus. And she sat at Jesus' feet. Martha was scurrying around doing all these hospitality things, making sure all the guys were taken care of and all the people that was there were fed and any needs that they had, she was there. But she got a little upset because Mary was just sitting at the feet of Jesus. And Jesus said this to her, but one thing you need, Mary, has chosen the good part, which will not be taken away from her. Well, so here, let's go back and read this again because I'm not sure I made myself clear. Jesus said this to Martha. because Martha said, let's go back. Let me take you to Luke chapter 10, verse 38. Do we have that? I think I skipped ahead a little too much. Now it happened as they went that he entered a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was distracted with much serving. Now, here's what I'm trying to share with you this morning. If we're not careful, we can get distracted with too much serving. Oh, Pastor Rob, how is that possible? It is. It's very possible to get distracted, become distracted with too much serving. Now, as a pastor, it pains me greatly to say that. Because I want you to serve. But be careful. There's been many a pastor that has served the body of Christ thinking that they were doing the best thing they could possibly do for the kingdom of heaven, and their family fell apart. So I always tell people, well, let's get this in order. Now, there's pastors that disagree with me about this, but let's get it in order. God first, family second, church third. That has to be the order of things because that's God's order. God established family long before he established the body of Christ. So the church has to be in its rightful place. Third in order, not second. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she approached him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore, tell her to help me. Jesus, look at these people. They're all just sitting around in my living room, and I'm doing all the work. I'm serving. Well, that's what you've been called to. That's your gift. Now, is it right for other people not to help out? No, it's not. But if you let it cause you to become bitter, it'll destroy you. Your gifting can destroy you if you're not careful. And Jesus answered and said to her, Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things. But one thing is needed. Mary has chosen that good part, which will not be taken away from her. Mary wanted to hear the words of Jesus. She wanted to sit at the feet of Jesus. It's important that we realize service is awesome. Serve as much as you can, as often as you can. Wherever you go, serve people. But do not forget to sit at the feet of Jesus. Make sure, that's important. Now, I'm going to share something with you that I asked my wife if I could do that this morning. Because I want you all to understand, I live with a Martha. And I'm not the only one that recognizes that. Her whole family, her growing up, they recognized she was a Martha. She's a servant. She loved to serve. She had the gift of hospitality. She likes to cook and all that kind of stuff. But not everybody in the family is that way. And I'm not always that way. So, naturally, it creates a little bit of conflict sometimes. And Martha, Martha, you should choose the better part sometimes. Now, that's an excuse that I can use. I want you all to know that. When Tammy growing up, she had some conflict with her younger sister, Terry. Tammy was the Martha, and Terry just wasn't into doing things. And when we got married, I don't want to go into a lot of negative stuff, but her family wasn't real pleased that she was marrying me. And there's good reason for that. Just the lifestyle that I had. Very good reason. So there was a lot of conflict between her and her mom and dad, because she was seeing me, and you know, her, some of her other siblings, sisters had married into married people that just were abusive and did crazy things to their spouses and abused them. So, you know, there was some real concern there from her family. And when we got married, that evening at our reception, Tammy wrote a letter to her mom and dad. Just a real short note. And it said this. "Mom and Dad, I know I put you two through a lot of trouble and made you worry. I'm sorry, but now don't worry. Rob and I love each other very, very, very much, and we'll be very happy." That was very prophetic. Because at that particular time, and if the first few years of our marriage, we were not very, very happy. However, Jesus Christ changes everything. Amen. But here's what I want you to hear. And I want you to hear the heart of my Martha. She said, "Thanks for everything. P.S. Make Terry help." That's good, isn't it? Now Terry's grown up. She's a different person these days. But listen, our heart to serve. We all must come to that place in our life where we have this heart to serve one another. And P.S., God, make them all help. Amen. Stand with me.
Hello, this is Pastor Rob Barber. I hope you have been blessed by this message. Our desire is to connect you to God and His kingdom with anointed messages. If you have enjoyed this podcast and would like more information about our ministry, please visit us at bethelwc.org. And remember, love never fails.